Hello and welcome to Stories from a Small Blue Marble. My name is Brian Hancock and I'll be your storyteller. Before we get started, I wanted to thank you for listening. These stories are my life in small bite-sized chunks. I have had an incredibly charmed life and I'm happy that you're here with me to enjoy some of it. So let's get started. This is a particularly hard story to write, and an even harder one to tell. It's about our childhood neighbor Glenn. I wrote this many years ago and then stashed it away on some hard drive. I never showed it to anyone. I never told a soul about this incident. As we get older, personal matters seem to matter less, to me anyway. However, these stories are my stories and all the bits and pieces that have made up my life so far, so I decided to include it here. If you don't want to read it or listen, I don't blame you, so fair warning. Skip to the next one if rape is a word that bothers you. Here's the story. Our neighborhood in Pietermaritzburg, where I grew up, was flat and featureless. The home is mostly single-level brick with tin roofs. When we were small, the houses had low hedges around them, but slowly, as we grew, so did the fences. The hedges were replaced with low walls, and the low walls were replaced with higher walls. They were there to keep the bad people out. Sometimes the bad people were already inside the walls. They were our friends, neighbors, brothers of our neighbors. Across the street lived a family of boys. They were our best friends, each kid matching the ages of myself and my brothers. We did what most boys did in South Africa in the 60s. We played in the dirt and we came home late each afternoon, filthy and tired. We played war games, an elaborate teenage hide-and-seek in the wooded area alongside the horse track. One day, in a moment of exuberance, I launched myself off the edge of a steep embankment and tumbled to the bottom in a heap of dirt and blood. I had grazed just about everything on my way down and lay sobbing until I was found by Glenn, the oldest of our neighbor's sons. "Geez, man, you're a mess," he said, not unkindly. "You're going to have to go home and get cleaned up." He reached for my hand and pulled me to his feet. "Come on," he said, "I'll take you home." I was just 11 at the time. Glenn was 16, a tall, gangly kid who just started to deal with a persistent case of acne. He was a kind kid, always nice to me, and I was happy for his help. I hobbled alongside of him, and we picked our way through the woods and finally up the hill toward our home. "You better come to our place and clean up," Glenn said. "You don't want your mom to see you like this." I nodded, hurting, thinking that it would be much better if my mom helped me, but Glenn was older, and older kids had to be respected. I sniffed and followed him through the front door of their modest home into the bathroom. "You better take your clothes off," Glenn said, and I nodded. "I'll run you a bath." I heard the water running in the tub next to the room. Ripping my clothes off was never an issue with me, or small South African kids run around naked. But even at that young age, I could sense something different in the way Glenn spoke. "Just take your clothes off," he said. "I will help you get clean, then we can put some bandages on those cuts." I stripped slowly, pulling my clothes over my head, making sure that the soft fabric did not touch the open wounds. At 11, I was a skinny bag of bones, tanned dark from the hot African sun, with the bits that did not see the sun, a stark white against the rest of my body. I gingerly lowered myself into the steaming water, feeling my grazed flesh tingle as the water touched the open wounds. Glenn was helping me into the bath, and I remember his breathing was getting short and shallow. When he spoke, his voice was husky. "I'm gonna wash you," he said. "You need me to help clean those grazes." For the next hour, I soaked in the water. Glenn helped me get the dirt out of the cuts, and once dry, he bandaged each of them. It was a kind gesture on his part, and my mother thanked him profusely when he delivered me back home across the street later that afternoon. The Duncan family were from Rhodesia, originally. They'd moved south as militant blacks started to make whites feel uneasy. And sensing a shift in tide, the parents piled their four boys into the car, packed it to the roof with their belongings, and drove into South Africa as immigrants. There was a trick that these new settlers used as they drove to their new lives. They stuffed tennis balls between the old-fashioned spring shock absorbers to cushion the weight of a lifetime of stuff packed high on the roof racks of their 60s Chevys and Valiants. The Duncans bought the house directly across from ours. I was friends with Kevin, the third son, who was my age. A few years later, he committed suicide. I never found out why, but then I guess those of us left behind never know why. His older brother, Sean, was the only person I knew that conscientiously objected to the military service. And the last I saw of him, he was being arrested by the military police. The youngest, Craig, had severe mental issues. Kevin and I were firm friends and we often slept at each other's homes. One night, about a month after I'd scraped myself in the bush, I was fast asleep in the spare bed in Kevin's room. I have always been a light sleeper and heard a scuffling by the door and opened one eye. Glenn was standing in the doorway, backlit by a lamp in the hallway. I could see his outline and his skinny legs through the flimsy fabric of his pajamas. Mostly, though, I remember his breathing. There was an uneven, rasping rumbling coming from some part deep inside of him. I closed my eyes and pretended that I was asleep. But even with both eyes tightly shut, I could sense that he was still there, and I knew that he was looking at me. "Glenn," I whispered, "what do you want, eh?" Kevin stirred, but his low snoring was a sure sign that he was still fast asleep. Glenn had moved out of the doorway and pulled the door closed behind him. It was pitch dark in the room, and I couldn't see him, but I could hear rasping in his throat. "Glenn, for fuck's sake, what are you doing?" I said. "You're making me scared." I felt a light touch on my foot, a caress, followed by a low voice. "Don't worry, it's just me," he said. "I'm coming to see if you're okay. I thought that I heard you crying." "Don't be stupid," I said. "I was not crying." But as I said it, I was not sure if I had been crying or dreaming or just asleep. I felt the bed sag to the side as Glenn sat down, and I shifted my legs to make some room. "You were crying," he said. "I heard you from my room." Kevin grunted in his sleep and I rubbed my eyes. They were dry. "It's okay, man," he said. "I often cry at night." "I was not crying," I whispered as loud as I dared. "I was asleep." I felt a gentle hand on my leg and caught my breath. I was only a small boy, but I still remember the shock of electricity that shot through me as his hand touched me. There was something incredibly exciting about the warmth of his flesh against mine. We sat like that for a long while, neither of us saying anything. All my senses were focused on the hand on my leg, but all I could feel was a wet sweat as Glenn sat behind me in the silence. Then his hand started to move. At first he was just rubbing my thigh, gently, slowly. There was nothing alarming in his manner except for the rasping in his breath. "Hey, just roll over into your tummy," he said in a low voice. "I want to rub your back so you can go back to sleep." I liked the sound of his voice and I liked the feel of his hand on my leg. It was warm and dark and late. I knew that his parents were asleep and Kevin's low snoring was sort of comforting. So I rolled over, my face against the wall. I felt his hand slip up my thigh and his fingers caught on my underpants. He pulled back, but just as quickly slipped his fingers back under the hem of my undies and gently caressed the crease of my backside. I have to admit, I liked the feeling and attention I was getting. But even at that young age, I knew that this was dangerous territory. Glenn was almost an adult. I was a naive, underdeveloped kid pinned up against the wall in a dark room. We lay like that for a while, the fingers moving rhythmically back and forth. I tried to fall asleep, but every nerve in my body was on fire. Then slowly I felt the weight of his body on mine as he lowered himself over me. Just before he sank onto me, he pulled the sheet back so that his skin was on mine, and in an instant I knew that he was naked. Somewhere between the door and the bed, he had taken his clothes off. My heart was racing, but at the same time my body was stirring. I could feel the heat of him and the rasping breath was against my neck. I felt a dribble of spit land on my back and the wetness of it jolted my senses. I arched my back trying to push him off, but he was strong and his hand reached around my face, covering my mouth and pulling my head back. For the first time I knew that things were going badly wrong, but I had painted myself into a corner and I was helpless to do anything about it. Glenn had one hand over my mouth, the other pinning my free hand against the wall. He was much bigger than me, and while I tried to squirm, he held me tight. "Don't fight," he said soothingly. "This is going to be fun." I remember his words today as if he had just spoken them yesterday. "This is going to be fun." As I lay pinned up against the wall, I felt Glenn start to move, back and forth, rhythmically. I had no idea what he was doing, but I could sense that it was much better to lie still than to fight. So I lay still. Glenn was grunting, his movements getting more and more erratic, and his breathing more and more intense, till he suddenly rolled off me, gasping for breath. He lay beside me while his body jerked back and forth, until it slowly subsided and his breathing slowed to normal. "Don't you tell a fucking soul about this," he whispered in my ear seconds later, and then I heard the door open. There was a momentarily flash of brightness from the light in the hallway, then the room was pitch dark again. I heard Kevin snoring gently and rolled over. My pajamas touched something wet, and it startled me. For all of my books, please go to www.brianhancockbooks.org. It's .org, not .com. There you'll find all of my books, my Substack blogs, stories, and very soon my podcasts. There'll be interviews with sailing legends, and I think you'll enjoy all the content. So please check in and say hello. And thanks, as always, for listening.